This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I am subbing in for the great Kevin Jackson. My name is Brett Siegel, otherwise known as the Disgruntled Millennial. You may call me the Mr. Disgruntled Millennial. Today, I always broadcast to you live where I am free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. Unfortunately, today I'm not free from your hypocrisy. Today, I am joined by Colin Flaherty. He's an award-winning reporter and author of the number one best-selling book, Don't Make the Black Kids Angry, The Hoax of Black Victimization and Those Who Enable It. That title would seem pretty provocative if it weren't backed up by so much evidence. His work appears in more than 1,000 news sites around the world, including the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Time Magazine. His story about how a black man was unjustly convicted of trying to kill his white girlfriend resulted in his release from state prison and was featured on Court TV, NPR, the Los Angeles Times, the San Diego Union-Tribune. He is also the author of White Girl Bleed a Lot, The Return of Racial Violence to America and How the Media Ignores It. His books are about black mob violence, black-on-white crime, and the knockout game, and how public officials, reporters, and activists deny, excuse, condone, and encourage it. Now, if you listen closely, you can already hear leftists in the distance chortling. He's a racist. He's a bigot. He's a Nazi. Institutional racism, slavery, reparations. Let's just get this right out of the way, Mr. Colin Flaherty. Are you a racist?
Well, of course not. And, you know, I'm reminded of what Thomas Sowell's definition of a racist is: any conservative winning an argument with a liberal.
Absolutely. Now, you're not a member of the KKK. You're not a Nazi or a Nazi sympathizer. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, of course I'm not. And but you know, the fact is, I do not worry about what the clowns call me. I let them worry about me.
Absolutely. And you have met a black person in your lifetime, haven't you?
Yeah, well, you talked a little bit about him in the intro.
Okay, so just so we can get this going, what do you think of Kevin Jackson? And you do know he's black, right?
Yeah, I think Kevin's the best one out there. I mean, as far as just purely and effortlessly swatting away all this fake racism, all this fake outrage that the liberals constantly come at him with. When I see him on Sean Hannity show or other Fox shows, he's very impressive.
Yeah, he is very impressive. And okay, so let's jump right in. How did you get into this line of work? Are our leftist comrades actually supposed to believe that you got started in doing this by actually trying to exonerate a black man?
Well, I was a reporter for a long time, and one of the bigger stories I ever wrote was out in Encinitas, California. A guy wrote my editor a letter, Kelvin Wiley. He said, "Hey, I didn't do it." So I was going, I got a copy of the letter, and I thought I was going to do a story about a guy in prison wasting everybody's time by saying he was innocent of a crime he was plainly guilty of. So I started looking at it, and sure enough, at the trial, the judge said the main witness against him was lying.
Right.
And so that's what he said in the letter. I didn't believe it. So I went and looked at it, and I found new evidence, new witnesses, and I showed that, A, not only did this crime did not happen. That's hard to prove something doesn't happen, by the way. I showed that the woman who set him up tried to set somebody else up for the exact same thing 1 year before. So it was a big deal. It was on NPR. It was on Court TV. I thought they were going to make a movie out of it for a while. But the powers that be in Hollywood told my agent, they said, we don't make movies where women are the villains, because the audience for TV movies is about 75-80% women.
Right, because institutional sexism and whatnot. So, explain how you got more into sort of what you've been doing currently, because this is one of these things that most media folks try to shy away from. They don't want it. It's like a hot potato. If a black man commits a crime, it's a man commits a crime. But if a white guy commits a crime, it's white guy commits a crime. How did you come into this line of work?
Well, I thought I was out of the reporting racket, and I was doing my own marketing communications company and doing some online stuff and doing very well, all good. But anyway, my brother was doing a radio show in good old Wilmington, Delaware, so I started co-hosting the show with him. And I picked up a story in the paper once that said all these Asian kids at a South Philadelphia high school, where 13 of them went to the hospital in one day.
Wow. And
apparently, these kids were beating themselves up.
Right.
And but, you know, when I looked into it, it turns out that for years, black people at, it's like a 90% black school, black people at this school have been harassing, torturing, threatening, beating Asian students, mostly immigrants, at this school. And when they went to the security guards, they said, we can't do nothing. When they went to the principal, they said, we can't do nothing. When they went to the superintendent, she said, well, we can't do nothing. And then she started whispering to the reporters when the reporters finally got on the story after years of this happening. She went to the reporters and said, yeah, the Asian kids are really causing it because they don't know how to act around black people. And she even gave the Asian kids at this school a flyer instructing them how not to antagonize black people so they wouldn't constantly be assaulted and threatened every day.
Right. Basically blaming the victim, as the leftists like to say.
Yeah, so when I did this story, all of a sudden I'm talking to other reporters and they're going, well, that has nothing to do with race. And then I started seeing other stories, the same thing, wildly out of proportion, the exact same kind of story. And I kept going back to these reporters, people I've known for a long time, going, hey, what's up with that? They go, no, Colin, that has nothing to do with race. Yet every other, but then when there was another story involving black people, I mean, it's all about race.
Right.
And so I thought there's something there. And so my stories are always half, here's the violence, but the other half is, here's the denial, deceit, and delusion from reporters who just cannot get their mind around the fact that black criminality is so wildly out of proportion in this country, which, of course, is the exact opposite of the narrative we see in the paper and TV every day. So that's what I write about. That's what's in my YouTube channel.
Right. And for some reason, and for some, in some magical way, the media always finds a way to excuse it. This is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. We're here with Colin Flaherty. We'll be right back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Beth Cook Moranville, author of Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope.
Hope, that wonderful, wonderful four-letter word that you may feel completely out of. I wrote this book to give you great hope. It's not too late. If fetal position is an all too familiar place for you, I understand. If the next 60 seconds are too long, this book is for you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're dealing with divorce or death or sickness, take hope. You are going to make it through this pain. Don't roll your eyes. I've walked this road, and I know it. The best is yet to come.
Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope from author and speaker Beth Cook Moranville, can be found on Amazon.com or Kindle.com. For more information, visit CloserThanYourBreath.com or on Facebook at Closer Than Your Breath.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
Sick of hair loss, thinning hair, bald spots? Ever thought about hair restoration? It's a life-changing decision. Thankfully, the first step is incredibly easy and absolutely free because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals just how easy and affordable their permanent solution to hair loss really is. Get yours by texting EASY44 to 85850. You'll see for free just how great your hair could look. Plus, we'll also give you a free gift card when you text EASY44 to 85850. Join the men and women all over the country who have come to Bosley, the world's most experienced hair restoration expert, for their permanent solution to hair loss. If you've ever thought about getting your hair back, don't miss this incredible offer. We're giving away an invaluable information kit absolutely free, plus a gift card for $250 off to everyone who texts EASY44 to 85850. That's EASY44 to 85850.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. This is the disgruntled millennial portion of the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I always broadcast to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. But today we are not free from the hypocrisy of leftist culture when it comes to black-on-white crime. We are here with Colin Flaherty today. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on right now. What are the things that are going on right now that we can sort of put our hands around and acknowledge that this is something that this is the big problem that's going on in our culture?
Okay, right. Okay, last night. Okay, as we tape this, so let's just say whenever it was, a Great American Amusement Park out in the Los Angeles area, there were 100 black people rampaging through the park, attacking people with tasers, stealing cell phones, beating white kids up. And so all the local media did stories about the teenagers doing this, the teenagers doing that. And I'm doing a video on this right now. But if you go to Twitter, the people who were there, they're not shy about saying what happened. They're saying, listen, this was a bunch of black people doing this to white and Asian kids. And this is not the first time I've documented this large-scale black mob violence at Halloween. Also last night in Brooklyn, what do you call it, the Barclays Center? They had a rap concert, you know, where the rappers get up there right. and glorify guns, drugs, money, and, you know,
violence.
The lovely ladies.
Yeah, of course.
And all of a sudden, outside the thing, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of a crowd, largely black people, vandalizing property, fighting police, trying to break into the concert. And everybody looks at it as if it's just a coincidence that this episode, large-scale episode of violence, is a black thing. When it is not a black thing, I demonstrate in my books and in my YouTube channel how this is happening a lot.
Now, how does the media? I mean, we all know the basic things that they say. Oh, this is a part of institutional racism. We can't really get mad at them for it because they're just angry about slavery still. What is it that drives the media to basically ignore all of this? To ignore the racial component?
Well, you know, I don't really do the causes or solutions of why these reporters are so goofy about what they cover. What I just do is demonstrate that it happens over and over and over. Like, for example, let's contrast what happened last night in Great American with what happened a few months ago up in the San Francisco area. 60 black people rampaged through a BART train station, attacking white people, beating them up, stealing their stuff. And, you know, nobody knew nothing. The reporters came in and did the normal, well, it's teenagers and we don't know what's going to happen. And by the way, BART is not going to release the tapes. They have video cameras all over the place. Anyway, a month later, it's almost like we found the Holy Grail. A vice president of BART is on local TV and somebody in local TV said, so what's up with all this violence at BART stations? And the lady goes, yeah, the board member goes, yeah, I just got an email from the vice president of BART saying, we're not going to release the videos because that would be too embarrassing to black people. I mean, it's like, this is, then we get the memo. And it's astonishing how, you know, they're just not going to do it. And so, exists on two levels, right? The macro level, which is where we expose media hypocrisy. We expose the hypocrisy of people who are telling us that black people are relentless victims of relentless white racism all the time, everywhere. That explains everything. As recently as yesterday on national TV, when all the fellas on the football teams melt down. But that's the macro level. The micro level is some people are in legitimate, authentic danger. White people and Asian people, young people, old people, gay people, straight people. They're in danger from this enormous level of black violence, criminality. But if all they know about it is what they read in the paper and watch on TV, then they're not going to know like what is going on around them until it's too late.
Right. And this reminds me of the Baltimore mayor, who basically said that when there was a Black Lives Matter protest, or as I like to call it, a riot, where they were basically looting their own town, looting their own city, she said, we want to give them room to destroy. And maybe it was a Freudian slip or something like that, but I mean, it could have, she couldn't have been more explicit as to the attitude of the people who are basically trying to cover this stuff up and pretend like it's not even happening, engaging in one of the worst kinds of denial that you can even imagine, because like Martin Luther King said, we should judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. But just imagine if the roles were reversed. Imagine if this were a white gang of white nationalists or racists or whatever it is, whoever they are, trying to do the same exact thing. They would not even be shy about adding the racial component to it.
So here's the thing. I try not to use hypotheticals because we have so many facts, so many examples of what you just said. My favorite story of Baltimore is not just the mayor, right, talking about room to destroy, but there's about a month after the riot, that huge riot in Baltimore. When you say Baltimore riot, you know, it's like, well, that doesn't really narrow it down much.
Right.
But there's a video, and I use it a lot on my channel, where We have 911 call, not 911 calls. We have the police chatter during the riot. The police were essentially abandoned by the mayor, by the chief, by the city council in the middle of the riot. 120 cops went to the hospital. You hear the 911. You hear the chatter. They're going, I'm hitting the face with rocks. They're attacking us. Get us some help. Get us some tear gas. No reply.
None.
And so here's the attitude of public officials, especially in chocolate cities all across the country. You hear they said this is their mantra. We are not going to arrest our way out of this mess. I mean, they won't even call the Baltimore thing a riot. They call it an uprising.
An uprising? That makes it sound so righteous. An uprising sounds like they're rising up against the oppression that is keeping them down on a daily basis. And it couldn't be anything further from the truth. I mean, unless you were gonna actually pin the tail on the donkey and say that most of these cities where all these riots actually happen are run by Democrats who basically let their constituents run amok.
That's kind of very plain to see. It's openly denied. But the thing is, it's so plain. When you have a plain fact like that, it takes a lot of denial to kind of keep on it. So there's so much denial about what's happening right now. And most of the stuff that's happening is not really the riots in Baltimore or St. Louis or Charlotte or Milwaukee or New York or lots of other places. It's really, I mean, just the other day in Louisville, it was a mass shooting. 9 people were shot, just an everyday thing in Louisville. I just did a story about something that happened in the last 48 hours. These two couples, 4 old people in North Carolina, they're sitting around their kitchen table, retired, playing cards. A black person comes in and kills all 4 of them. There's an enormous, if you want to freak out a liberal, tell them this. Tell them this and show them the article from the New York Times where I got it. 80% of the mass shootings in this country are done by black people.
That's absolutely staggering, a staggering statistic. And we're going to be right back with Colin Flaherty. This is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. Get me at Shaq General. We'll be right back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
And salutations. You are tuning into the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. My name is Brett Siegel, the Disgruntled Millennial. You can get me at Shaq General, or you can check out my Facebook, The Disgruntled Millennial. I always broadcast to you live from my safe space down here in Northern Florida, where I am free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. Unfortunately, today I'm not free from your leftist hypocrisy dealing with black-on-white crime. Today we are here with Colin Flaherty. He is an award-winning author. He has been dealing with this hypocrisy in the media for such a long time now, and I want to give him the floor. We're going to talk a little bit about his books and some of the things that he also does out there on his YouTube channel. Don't make the black kids angry and white girl bleed a lot. These are some really provocative names, and these are provocative names about books that are about black crime. Now, explain to us how you got some of those names and why you chose to use it.
Well, in Kansas City, Missouri, there's a place called the Country Club Plaza. It's an upscale place where all the nice people go for dinner and a movie, and you walk around the plaza. They built this plaza right next to a huge public housing project in the ghetto. So the plaza is a center of large-scale black mob violence over 100 times in the last 5 years. And, you know, every time it happens, The reporters freak, the people freak. It's always the teenagers you need, but you see the video. But that's the thing, right? It's like we have the video, so we know who's doing it,
right?
And so they wanted to make a curfew to control the teens. And the former mayor of Kansas City, his name is Emmanuel Cleaver. He's now a congressman. So he was back in town, and so they put a microphone in his face and they said, "Hey, what about this?" What about this curfew, a Country Club Plaza? Are you down with that? He said, no, because all that's going to do is make a lot of black kids angry.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Right. So that's where that name came from. And the name White Girl Bleed a Lot. That's a very, very provocative name. It's got a little Ebonics kind of tinge to it. Let's talk about how you came up with that name, because, I mean, this is just one of those things that's like, you almost have to be that aggressive in your words in order for people to acknowledge the hypocrisy that's going on a daily basis, because people are literally dying.
Okay, so this came out of Milwaukee. And before I started writing and doing videos about this, I had no idea that Kansas City and Milwaukee were centers of black criminality wildly out of proportion. So this was a couple years ago, 4th of July, a couple of white kids are having a picnic, a 4th of July picnic. Meanwhile, a few blocks away, on video, 50 to 100 black people are rampaging through a convenience store, stealing the chips and the grocery and the candies and the beer. They took all their stuff, and they went down to the park where they see the white kids. All of a sudden, they start beating the hell out of a couple of these white kids that were there. And at one point, a black woman is standing on top of a white woman. She's pointing on the ground to her. And she's kind of, but she's also kind of like motioning her friends, you know, saying, hey, look at this, look at this. She points down to the chick on the ground and says, white girl bleed a lot. That was enormously hilarious to everybody involved. Well, by the way, the next day, the kids that were attacked, beat up really badly, they go down to the police station and they say, can we get a copy of that police report of what happened to us? And they go, what police report? What happened to you? And there was no police report. Nothing happened.
Unreal.
So it took about a week later, these kids wouldn't stop, right? They just kept going to the talk shows, to the TV. And about a week later, the mayor and police chief came out and said, well, I think we had a little misunderstanding here. And that's when the police chief of Milwaukee, who's still in office, he assured us that this crime had nothing to do with race. It was just kind of a coincidence that all the people involved on one side were black and the other people were white.
Right. Well, I actually know personally, because of a bunch of family that I have who are extreme hardcore leftists and extreme leftist shills, they live there, and they are basically the pinnacles of white guilt. And I'm sure that if there was any sort of racial component there, that the norm in Milwaukee would be to completely deny any sort of racial component, even though this incident clearly delineates a racial component to what is going on in Milwaukee.
So your family, and a lot of us have family like that, so your family in Milwaukee can deny it intellectually, but on another level, I mean, they're not denying it on other levels. I mean, we know that your family does not send their children to black schools in Milwaukee. We know they don't go to the ghetto to go to the newest barbecue restaurant down there. We know they don't go shopping in black neighborhoods. They don't go to church in black neighborhoods. So on one level, you can deny it, but on another level, you don't live there, you don't own a house there, and you never would, because on some level, you know that a lot of black people just are not into white people. There's an enormous amount of black on white hostility in this country that a lot of people have trouble getting their minds around.
You know, I personally, and this is one of the things that I like to discuss on the show, is the sort of meta reasons why all this is going on. And I really truly believe that there is a concerted effort among the left to try to stoke these kinds of racial hatred towards white people. The whole thing about institutional racism, like black parents having to teach their kids about mugshots and all this stuff, and about white supremacy and all this, and you can't get ahead because of your black skin. And you're, you know, the person sitting next to you in class who happens to be white, he's got institutional advantages above you. I mean, to me, this is a part of a concerted effort to stoke the kind of racial hatred that so many people have spent years trying to quell.
Well, the only way I know how to fight a lie is with the truth. And so this last night I'm listening to NPR, and I have a little meter that goes off in my head when I listen to NPR now. And I wait to see how long it takes before they inject race into even the most non-racial story. NPR is relentless stories about black victimization and white racism. And so last night driving around, there's a storytelling show on a Sunday night. A black woman is starting her story off, and she goes, back in 1977, and I thought, okay, yeah, all we need now is, all we need now is a soundtrack of black people on a chain gang singing these work songs, and sure enough, that's what it was. She had something that happened to her in grade school, and this was a complete condemnation of all white racism all the time, everywhere, that is causing black people so much trouble. But what I document is that black people are not the victims, they are the predators. And what we see on television a lot is is the opposite of that. So I'm really trying to counter that.
Right. And one of the things that you've also been privy to is a lot of the hoaxes that are going on. Because, look, where you're not going to find the evidence, you're just not going to find the evidence of white people going around committing these racially charged crimes. It's just not there. So you've been privy to a lot of, with the community that you sort of built up, now you sort of have been, you've been
told about, and there's all sorts of hoaxes going on, basically, where people try to pretend like there's this white, that this white against black crime is a bigger problem than it actually is. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, let me run off just a couple of recent examples. I mean, this one actually got by me a little bit. I had to depend on a YouTube channel called Atheism is Unstoppable for this one. And so there was a huge story out of New Hampshire saying a black child was lynched by a bunch of white teenagers. And this was a national story. And it went on for days and days and days. Till finally, you know, we found a picture of the victim. It wasn't a black kid. It was a white kid. So some white kids on a playground stuck a rope around somebody's neck, and there were some rope burns on the kid's neck. Bad enough. But race had nothing to do with it since the victim was white. And we've done and at the University of Maryland and at the BART station in San Francisco, and this story's been repeated 10 times in the last 2 months. Racist graffiti, you know, it's like somebody right. does, you know, drops an M-bomb or something. They finally find out who did it. After lots and lots of news stories, lots of accusations, lots of exclamations that, you know what, white people got to do better. It was a hoax. It was black people doing this racist graffiti.
Right.
There's so much of this going on.
Honestly, it makes me kind of sick to my stomach, the whole this whole business about the N-word. Listen, there is not one group of people who are more cavalier and loose-lipped about using the N-word than folks who are black. It's just not. It's just not as much a thing. Another thing that kind of irks me is that there isn't one word to say about white people that is absolutely universally condemned. And I know this because I went to a mostly black school. My mom took me out of private school, and because she wanted me to have a more diverse kind of elementary school experience, kind of sent me to the area of town where I would be the minority. And I can tell you, I have not heard cracker, honky, white boy so many times in my entire life as I was when I was around a bunch of black kids. And it was
Let me ask you this. How many white kids are in that school?
Not that many. I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we come back. This is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. We're here with Colin Flaherty. We'll be right back.
Kevin Jackson
on the Black Spear Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm from everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions, formulated for your well-being. For example, our foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal tea at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma. Your path to wellness begins here.
Putting an end to identity politics.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I am Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I am free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. Today we are here with Colin Flaherty. We are discussing black on white crime. I know it's not something you hear about because, you know, the leftists start to chortle on about racism and institutional racism and white supremacy and Nazism and all this kind of stuff. But one of the things that we rarely get a chance to talk about and hear about are, because the media basically ignores it, is black on white crime. Now, we were just talking about when I was sent to the, you know, sent to a mainly black school because my mom wanted us to have a little bit more diverse education. It was one of the only places where they had magnet schools, come to think of it. That was one of those things where you couldn't get in the quote white part of town. You couldn't get a magnet school where the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars were funneled
sprinkled into communities on behalf of the other side of town so that kids could have an upbringing dealing with the arts and all this good kind of stuff. And I had never experienced real racism until I had gotten to that point, until I had gotten into that area. I wouldn't say I was targeted, but let's just say that black kids are not taught about racism in the way that white kids are taught about racism. It was all too many times I heard white boy, cracker, honky, just on a daily basis, and nobody said anything about it. Nobody said anything about it. There was this one time, this one experience where I can remember that I was being taunted by this black girl in class. I'll never forget her name. Her name was Tarina King. I will never forget her because she had a chip on her shoulder about me and about me being white, and I was maybe one of four or five white kids in the class. Everyone else was black or Hispanic. And she just kept on just harping on me. Oh, white boy, this, cracker, that. Nobody said a word about it. Our white teacher didn't say a word about it. And then I just got fed up. I was just like, you know, like, what's good for the goose? I guess, you know, as much as a second or third grader could think at the time, what's good for the goose is what's good for the gander. If she's going to sit here and talk about my whiteness, I stood up and I said, why are you doing this, you black bee? And I swear to God, every head in the room turned, the moment it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh my God, that felt absolutely terrible. But guess what? Even after weeks and weeks of being taunted by this girl about my race, I'm the one that got in trouble. I was the one that got sent to the principal's office. Colin Flaherty, let's talk a little bit about that, because I know you've been told stories about this exact kind of thing. Well-intentioned parents who send their white kids to black schools and the outcome isn't exactly as they intend.
You know, Howard Stern talks about that exact experience he had in ninth grade. His parents sent him to a black school, and he experienced violence, harassment, threats going to school, going home from school, in school. I've done over 100 stories on my channel, on my Facebook page. People write me letters saying, Colin, this is what happened to me. And the worst letters come from the white kids who go to black schools, and the worst time of the year is February, Black History Month. That's where the anti-white hysteria has raged to a fever pitch. And this isn't just, you know, if you weren't the victim of violence, I would say you are a very lucky one, because every other white kid I know that went to a black school had a horrific, violent experience. Most of the kids, so I grew up with, say I grew up with 30 kids. Half of them went to the Catholic school where I went. The other half went to a public school, which was black by the time we got there. And of the 15 kids who went to that black school, 13 of them dropped out. They couldn't handle the violence to school, from school, in school. And all 13 of them have since been living this life kind of in the gray zone of petty crime, drug abuse, you know, drunk driving, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it ruined their lives. And this is all the time for a white parent today. If you're a white parent, you send your kid to a black school, I don't have any problem in calling that child abuse.
To be honest, these days, sending your kid to public school in general, to me, I think is also a form of child abuse too,
because so many homeschoolers are figuring that out.
Yeah. Well, because what are you going to do? You're going to send your kid, let's just say your kid is white. You're going to send your kid to a place where they're going to tell you all that, where they're basically going to teach you that you are terrible because of the color of your skin. That's abuse. And let's take the opposite point of view. You're going to send your black kid to one of these kinds of schools where they can learn, where they have these special privileges, where they can just go around treating people poorly. Like, that's also a sense of, in a sense, child abuse. They're getting it from both directions. They're getting it from every which way, and people are worse off because of it.
There's an enormous amount of black and white hostility and violence in this country. People cannot come to terms with it. A lot of it in schools. A lot of people are talking about it, but you know, the reporters don't want any part of it.
Tell us a little bit about what you kind of coined as Philadelphia syndrome.
I coined so many phrases, I don't even remember what that one is.
Okay, let's talk a little bit then about Salon.com, because a lot of folks have tried to take you down, and as far as I know, you know you struck a nerve in the extreme leftist circles when Salon starts giving you airtime. Personally, if Salon hasn't tried to take you down, you're probably not doing enough to speak truth to power.
Well, you know, people like Salon, Village Voice, New Yorker Magazine, CNN, I mean, they've all taken their shot. Lots and lots of other people have all taken their shot. But the problem is there's too many videos. There's too many victims. There's too many 911 calls. And, you know, my favorite one was Salon, right? Because so Salon writes a story saying I'm making up the whole thing about the knockout game, by the way.
Right.
And so I have all, you know, I keep producing the videos. And they said, I'm just making it all up. But my favorite thing was a guy from Illinois, he's a Salon reader, and he comes into the comment section and he goes, listen, I like Salon. I'm down with your cause. But in my town, the same thing happens. Groups of black people go out looking for white people to assault and hurt really badly. He goes, in my town, we call it polar bear hunting. So my favorite thing is Salon, from that Salon article, is that the Salon readers were giving me links to what was going on in their town. And, you know, there's lots of reporters are victims of this, by the way. You know, okay, so let's say the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. That is where, you know, that's kind of ground zero for denial, right? There have been over a dozen examples in the last 2 or 3 years of reporters going into the hood, and they are attacked or robbed on an epic level, and you know, it's, they never identify who they are, but this is a black thing in that area. Now, for a lot of these TV stations, they will not send a camera crew into Oakland or Richmond or other black neighborhoods in that area without sending an armed guard. By the way, it still happens.
Which is absolutely unreal, you know. I mean, it's the video evidence that makes that makes it so visceral, you know. I mean, anybody can just spout off and start mouthing off and start saying things, but when there's so much video, there's so much video evidence to prove that this is a problem, it just really, it's almost like the titles of your book aren't provocative enough to make the problem clear enough to people.
A lot of people, when they experience this black on white crime and violence, they kind of think, well, maybe it just happened to me. But when the people become aware of my books and my YouTube channel, then they're aware that, oh, no, this was not just one little thing that happened to a little white kid down in Florida. This is happening all over the country in a very, very nasty way. And more people are starting to say, well, I'm going to start telling the truth about this, even if maybe I get in a little bit of trouble at work or something happens here or there.
Right. And another thing that I've noticed, too, is that people are so cavalier these days about the D word, discrimination. I know for a fact that human resources departments are inundated now, because you know what they teach you now? They say, if a white guy accosts you at work, if anybody says anything to you at work, just utter the D word and it'll all go away.
Black people get an advantage on SATs in school, SATs like by 250 points, and they also get their grades adjusted to give them an advantage over other people under similar circumstances, especially the Asian kids.
You know, at a certain point, and I think this affirmative action business definitely has to go away, and people need to start being treated as equals again. It doesn't do anything for the human spirit to be treated with kid gloves, because you're always going to know that you lost fair, that if you were playing fair, that you would have lost. Now, I'm sure these guys in the football league wouldn't want to have tied behind their back, because maybe their race is a little bit more athletic than the other race. No, that wouldn't be fair. We got to start doing this right, folks. Colin Flaherty, I want to thank you so much for joining the show today.
Great to be in your safe space, Brett.
And this is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. Get me at Shaq General. We'll be right back.
He won't stop until he's the top-rated radio talk show host in America.
What kind of weird competitive freak are you?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.